The challenges facing today's church often seem insuperable. Those of us who grew up in the UK when church going was still relatively fashionable have watched attendances dwindle, have heard the media laughing at Christians and their beliefs, and have seen Christian values thrown overboard in public life. The same thing has been happening in other parts of the Western world, albeit more slowly in the USA. We know that the church is expanding in the so-called developing countries, but that only makes some commentators sneer at the naivety of such unenlightened societies. In place of an earlier faith, many forms of paganism are now on the rise. It is as well for Christians to be realistic about their present embattled situation. Two things, however, have to be remembered. First, the early church faced a pagan world far more powerful and entrenched than ours. The Gospel of Jesus was born into a world where its central claims were laughed out of court. The message of the crucified Messiah was, as St. Paul put it, a scandal to Jews and madness to non-Jews. The wider world was neither expecting nor wanting the kind of news that the early Christians were proclaiming. They already had their own well-developed culture, complete with their own gods and goddesses. Paganism was an entire way of life. Its religion, the worship of the many deities of the ancient world, and the practices that went with that, was simply one way of expressing graphically what human life was supposed to be all about. Our challenges are as nothing to the ones faced by the first Christians. Welcome, they might say, to the normal Christian world. Second, as the early Christians thought through their faith, they saw the death and resurrection of Jesus as the victory of the true God over all the powers of the pagan world. This was paradoxical, to say the least. The pagan world went on persecuting and killing them, but the lived-out message of the gospel made its way nonetheless. Indeed, the courage of Christians facing torture and death, and above all the love which they showed to one another, and even to their persecutors, made people realise that they were embodying a new way of being human. A way which reflected a true God, totally unlike the gods and goddesses the world had known before. So when we go back to the first Christians, and especially the writings of the New Testament, we find a message which fits our own times as much as theirs. If we face a resurgent paganism, we face it with the same assurance of victory as our forebears had. The present book is written to draw attention to the ways in which various forms of paganism have once again become prominent in our world, and to suggest that, when we look at certain things that have been going on in the church, we don't merely see worrying indications of decline. We see exciting signs that God is doing new things. My overall proposal is that the true and living God has been equipping the church in a variety of ways, ways which seem expressly designed to enable us to meet the new challenges we now face. One way in which this challenge is often posed can be seen when people say that they are not religious, but that they are, in some way, spiritual. By not religious, they usually mean that they don't go to church, don't regularly pray, and almost certainly don't read the Bible. But when we look more closely at the way our contemporary world actually works, we discover, as we see in this book, that today's society is, in fact, very religious. The signs of this, the worship of Mammon, the god of money, Aphrodite, the goddess of erotic love, Mars, the god of war or violence, and many other deities, are ingrained in the way we think, in the assumptions we make about how life works. When people in this world say they are spiritual, what they often mean is that they are aware of spiritual dimensions in their lives, perhaps glimpsed in art or music. There are fewer closed-minded materialists around than there used to be.